And now, for your listening pleasure, The Blazing Defender Report with your host, Travis Jones. And welcome to another craptastic episode of The Blazing Defender Report! I'm your host, Travis Jones. What the hell's going on, everybody? Happy fucking Friday. It is Friday. Just one quick moment. Sound check to my chat. How am I doing? Echo, because there was a crazy echo. I had a crazy, like, close-up. Like, this was the whole show. You know, y'all were counting pores and shit. Like, every time you seen a pimple, you, like, took a drink. It was not fun for me, but I'm sure you guys had a mute your YouTube video. I don't have a fucking YouTube video, dude. I do have a YouTube video. God damn it, Ryan. That's why you're important in the chat. Every person is important in the chat. Thank you so much. All right. Is that better? Yeah? Yeah? Can I get a hell yeah? Can I get a hell yeah? All right. What's going on? Happy fucking Friday. I think I already said that, but it goes without saying. I need to say it again. It is Friday, end of the fucking work week. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, very, very glad to be back on the microphone. I think this is my second show back from my little hiatus that I took. Again, I want to thank everybody. And we got a mailbag. We got a mailbag edition of the Blazing Defender Report. A lot of questions that I had when I was during my hiatus, and there were some good ones, so I wanted to share those with you guys. If you have a question you want me to answer on the air, I'll give you a shout out, and I would love to answer your question on the air, but you can always join the fucking chat, right? That's very, very cool. Chat's lively. Thank you so much, guys, for showing up. Got a big announcement to make. Maybe not this week. Maybe this week, maybe not this week, maybe next. Well, it won't be the week after next because I will be in Jamaica, man. Cheers. Definitely not smoking marijuana, not partaking in any drugs, definitely not partaking in any drugs. But I will be in Jamaica. So it may be, when I come back from that, have a fairly big announcement. I'm excited about it. It involves some guys that you all may know. But we'll just see. We'll just talk about it then. We're going to have a big show to make the announcement. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think you guys are really going to dig it. And I'm really going to need your guys' help into getting this out. And I know you're like, getting what out, man? Just fucking tell us. Yeah, I can't because there's other people involved. So, but it's going to be very, very fucking cool. And it's going to be even fucking cooler for you cats because it's going to be, the Blazing Defender Report's always going to be the same, but you're going to get a lot more content, a lot more me in that content probably. So, it's all cool, man. It's very, very cool. And I'm very, very excited about it. We still didn't do the Orcs exclusive BDR as we are 3,000 now. Dude, all right, really, really fast. I want to shout out to Rhino315. He started a cosplay group 2 years ago, Ryan? Rhino, 2 years ago? Maybe three. I think it's more like two. He'll tell you in the chat. And it has blown the fuck up. As you can see, 3,000 fucking members, man. And what is... Okay, 3 years ago. And what is cool, so cool about Ryan's group is the positivity. The you know, the internet is full of fucking fanboys and know-it-alls and Jason Joneses. I'm just kidding, man. Had to throw that in there, man. No, you my boy, Jason. You know you my boy. Jason's been there with me from fucking day one. Him and Debo have been there with me since day one. So no shit talking at all. But there's a lot of negativity on the internet and in Facebook groups. Rhino's group is fantastic. It is Orcs, O-R-C-S, Ohio River Valley Cosplay. Orcs, right? Society, right? River, just fucking post the link, Ryan. Shit. Thank you. Thank you, Tank. I appreciate it, brother. Yeah, go be a dad. Go be a dad. You know, I'm your man, Jay. Jay said, loving it, man. Heather's in Pittsburgh, so I need someone to knock my dick in the dirt. I'm your guy. River Valley Cosplayers. Yeah, I said it right. Okay. It's a fantastic group. Follow them on Facebook. Those guys are really, really, really doing it. I seen where you guys had some representation in Dragon Con this past weekend, Rhino, so that's fantastic. You and I, next year, dog, we're there. I didn't get to go this year. It's like, since I've been podcasting, it's the only year that I haven't been. Trying to retire next year so I can go to shit like this and not have to fucking worry about it. So I had to kind of set some priorities. But I will be there next year. And, Rhino, you're going to be right there with me. And but let's try to – we need to – we'll do something then too, but we need to get something done before then. For sure. Because your cosplay group is fantastic, man. I follow it on Facebook. I love it. Oh, thank you. And I'm glad you brought that up, Jason, because that's going to be part of the mailbag, too. Jason says he needs my address. He's going to send me the new PLB. That's a comic book company. It's a small indie comic book company. It does really good stuff. PLB release. I linked you in for a PDF on the run. Very, very cool, Jason. Thank you. And I will get that to you after the show. So that's the big announcement. Mailbag. Fuck it. Mailbag. Let's do it. All right. So, and look, you know, if you're not getting hate on the internet and doing what you do, what I do anyway, you're not doing something right. And that's cool. I'm cool with that. But I'm not going to give you a forum on my show with that shit. And it's nothing really, really bad at all. It's a lot of, I don't know if they're catfishing me. I don't know what it is. But I do have kind of a shitty question that someone asked me. And I know some things come off in a text or in an email, not quite like they're meant. But I'm going to address it. And I hope they are watching. I don't know if it's a woman or a guy. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I am going to answer your question. So, first question comes from BigJim602. I believe that was his gamer tag, because some people send me shit on Xbox Live too, so that's cool too. What made you choose a comic podcast? Well, Jim, you're probably a new member and that, or a new listener. That's cool. Or a new watcher live on Twitch TV. That's cool too. I wanted to do something I was passionate about, and I've told this story before. And a buddy, me and a guy in the fire department were big podcast fans. We listened to a variety of different podcasts, Joe Rogan, Tim Ferriss. I listened to a lot of fantasy football stuff, big fantasy football player. Don't start on the Antonio Brown shit, please. I almost couldn't get my workout in today because people were coming up to me wanting to know about Antonio Brown. But anyway, because I'm a Raiders fan. So anyway, we were going to do a fire department-based podcast. Well, then when we started talking about the content that we were wanting to talk about, we realized that we couldn't do it. So, or I take that back. He realized he couldn't do it. I was still all about it. I don't give a fuck. For one thing, we were going to have to bring up issues and problems in our department. And I'm really, really, really hoping that I can launch something like that after I retire with someone that is, can either stay anonymous. That would be cool. We'll like put a bag over his head, like the unknown comedian. Remember that dude? I'm showing my age, but that's, I thought he was funny. And we'll just put a bag over his head and like disguise his voice like the Batman or something like that. So, but we realized we couldn't do it. So we did it. But I really wanted to do one. So I thought, what am I passionate about? And it's this shit. It's this shit. It's this shit. You know, I mean, I got fucking shit laying around everywhere. I got statues everywhere. I got action figures everywhere. So I love this stuff. I've always loved it. And I thought, man, what better way to just do something you love, man? I don't give a fuck what it is. I don't give a shit if it's baking cakes, man. Do a podcast on baking cakes. Fuck, I might even watch that shit. I love fucking cake, right? Kurt Stable, what's up? Kurt's in the house. But yeah, so yeah, do something that you're passionate about. This is what I'm passionate about. I love this shit. If you haven't watched the show, then you probably don't understand that. But if you watch the show, you know I love it. I'm very excited. Me and Big Sam, which is a co-host of mine on Me Heads on Movies, we're going to Lexington Comic Con tomorrow to meet Kevin Eastman. And if that name rings a bell, if it doesn't ring a bell, it should. He is the creator and artist of the Ninja Turtles, creator, writer of the Ninja Turtles. So we're going to have some stuff signed. And I actually have my Ninja Turtles issue number one that's worth a lot of money. And he's going to sign the motherfucker tomorrow. So very excited about that. So I love this shit, man. So that's why I chose the comic book podcast. So thanks, Big Jim 602, for your question. What are your top five comic movies of all time? Sim Slater DM underscore seven. Okay. This isn't really as hard as you would think. And Rhino, I will get to that question right after this one. That's a good question too, because I have had some people in the industry ask me that very same question. So good question. Oh man. Man, too much vodka. Okay. No such thing, right? So my top five movies are in this order. Avengers, number one. I don't know why, it just fucking is. I never thought I would see a movie like that in my lifetime that was this good, that exceeded every expectation that I have of a movie going into it. That's very seldom ever happened. Maybe it's only happened a couple times. So, I did say Lexington Comic Con. It's the Lexington Comic Experience. Yes, but it's in Lexington. I call them all the same. I'm old, Ryan. I'm old. But thank you for the clarification. But it is the Comic Experience. So, Avengers number one, magical. The movie is just fucking magical to me. So, number one, Infinity War. Infinity War from top to bottom, I go back and forth. Is Infinity War my favorite movie? I don't know. The ending had a lot to do with it. Me and Big Sam have always said on our show, oh my God, just let the fucking bad guy win. Just to blow our fucking minds, man. Holy shit. I'll never forget, after Infinity War, I was in the bathroom. I knew Spider-Man had a movie still coming out. I knew Spider-Man was coming back. Is he coming back? You know, but we knew he had another movie in the bag. We knew Black Panther was coming back, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people didn't know that shit. And I was in the bathroom and motherfuckers were losing their minds over Spider-Man and Black Panther dusting away. So that movie just fucking from top, Thanos, and oh my God, just amazing, amazing. As I talk about it, I want to put it number one, but it's more like 1A, 1B, okay? Logan, to me, again, another movie that exceeded all expectations. It shattered the genre of what a comic book movie can be. And don't even get me started on these producers from the fucking Joker movie. Who, what am I, seven? I've got to go see comic book movies now. Yeah, motherfucker. You're making a comic book movie. And your source material is coming from The Killing Joke. So don't talk shit. I got very upset when I read that. Because comic book movies have shown that they transcend the comic pages. And they've done that. And Logan was one of those movies. I fucking cried. I cheered. So fucking good. Logan is number three. Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier is a movie that did the same thing Logan did. It transcended that genre. I finally got to see my Captain America on the screen. Thank you, Russo Brothers. When he's running that helicarrier in that opening scene, I could have came on myself. I mean, I'm pretty sure the dude in front of me had a year's supply of moose in the back of his fucking head because I was so amped and fucking jacked watching him kick motherfuckers off the helicarrier. He got in a fight with the fucking Batroc. GSP, which is my favorite UFC guy. Man, just magical, magical moment, Winter Soldier. Fifth, very, very kind of tough for me. Got to put Endgame in there. Even though I have issues with Endgame, the time travel element, the Captain America ending, it was still so fucking good. And what the Russos did in 15, 13 years of Marvel movies, just tying everything together. There were shortcomings, but just when you think about the magnitude of that movie and the expectations of that movie, and it didn't disappoint. And Cap getting Mjolnir, Fat Thor, I mean, motherfucker, it's so good, guys. It's so good. Endgame, Infinity War, they have to be in your top five. I don't give a, if you're a comic book fan, they have to be. Okay. That's my top five. Very good question. I really appreciate that. Who was that again? Sim Slater DM. Yeah, I appreciate that. Appreciate the question. Okay. This is the one that was, it's kind of Haiti. I'm getting passing up in the chat here. Okay. First of all, no, hold on. I have to answer Jason really, really quick. GOTG, Guardians of the Galaxy or Deadpool. No. Very, 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 very close. This is my top tier. Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and Deadpool 1 and 2 are both in my tier 2 movies. They're so fucking good. I mean, guys, we're talking, you know, pubic hairs away from passing each other. I mean, that's just how good these movies are. Am I right or am I wrong? Jason's a Deadpool fan, so obviously he's going to put that in there. I'm a Cap fan, so obviously Winter Soldier is going to trump Deadpool. Again, these movies did a lot of the same things. They kind of showed us what a different looking comic book movie could be. Very, very great movies in their own right. Taking nothing away from any of them. But that's the reason I have to go with the top five that I went for. Now, my top 10, they're in there for sure. Okay, Ryan's question, how's the transition from Facebook to Twitch? This is a good one. I've had several people tell me they love the Twitch format better. Okay, now where I was getting 70 to 80,000 views on Facebook, I'm not getting that on Twitch. It is a different medium, but I am affiliated, and apparently that's a bigger deal than I thought it was. But I am affiliated thanks to you guys. That's me giving you a fucking hand. Thank you for that, because you guys made that possible. But I do like the things that I can do on Twitch better than I do Facebook, but I do feel like I've alienated my casual listener, my casual viewer. You guys are the fucking hardcore, right? You're the moon dogs, man. You're the hardcore fan, and I salute you. And a lot of you guys have came over to Twitch for the very first time, never knowing what Twitch was, to follow me, and I really fucking appreciate that. It's still known as a gamer channel, but I think it's growing. So I do appreciate what Twitch offers as far as that goes. And I've heard people all the time say, man, I never got a notification when you went live on Facebook. I get it all the time on Twitch. That right there is worth a lot to me. So that's the difference. But again, some people are like, yeah, I don't know what Twitch is. You know, and I get it. You know what I mean? You got to log in. You got to make an account. Speaking of Twitch, if you guys are Amazon Prime members, you get one free subscription a month for free. You can subscribe to any channel you want. And that really helps me if you use that Prime subscription on me and the Blazing Defender Report. So I appreciate that. If you would do that, it costs you nothing. Just every month, you kind of got to go back and resubscribe. That's where they kind of get you. Or, hey, if you like another channel, subscribe to it 1 month, subscribe to me in 1 month. I don't give a shit. I'm not picky, man. I just appreciate the support. And you guys have been fantastic. So I do dig Twitch. I do dig Twitch as opposed to Facebook. Now, Rhino, the goal is if I get enough subscriptions, I can upgrade my software to where I can stream multi-platform. I can stream live on YouTube. I can stream live on Facebook and Twitch at the same time. That is the goal, but those softwares are expensive, and a lot of them come with a monthly subscription, which really sucks balls. But with your help, I can get that done. And technology's moving forward, and eventually there will be some type of multi-platform software out there that I can use that's good and that doesn't cost my firstborn. So, but thank you. How many do you need roughly? Like subscriptions? As many as I can get. I'm affiliated now. So what that means is I have enough followers, I have enough hours on the channel that you can subscribe to me, whatever you give to me, or if you give me your monthly subscription, I get a stipend off of that. Okay. It's not much, but the more you get, the more it is, right? That's just how it fucking works. So, so again, and I have this in my notes to write down. If you know somebody you think would like this show, man, send them a link. Send them the Twitch link. Tell them about the Prime. Tell them to subscribe. Tell them to go to my Patreon. That helps too. I do like I don't do creative shit because I'm not creative, but I give like backstage access to a lot of shit that I do on my Patreon channel. So if you go to patreon.com/ Blazing Defender, you'll go to my Patreon. If you sign up for different tiers, I create content for you, only you. It's not something that I would post. It's yours. You paid for it. You get it. And you get it once a month, no matter what. So check out the Patreon channel. If you haven't, check that out. I'm going to start doing more and more stuff on Patreon once I start getting some movement on it. I really haven't got a lot of movement on that yet. So once I do, I'm gonna hammer it because there's a lot of cool shit that I want to do, but I don't want to ruin it for someone that's going to pay for it. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. yeah, Rhino. But you know I'm talking about something. Rhino said, "Bruh, you're creative as fuck. You make up shit for like an hour." I got a list of notes, and it's just shit that I love, man. It's just like you could talk about cosplay for a fucking 3 hours. I guarantee it because you love it, and there's so much stuff you could talk about, and we're going to get to that, but I got some more questions. So, Patreon is a good avenue to reach fans for sure. Yeah, I agree. I agree, Brian. Okay, so where am I at? Oh, here's the one that was a little bit hatey. You don't seem like the type of guy that reads comics. Are you just trying to cash in on the comic book thing right now? Prove me wrong. This is Mike_Doom_43. Okay. First and foremost, Mike Doom. Pretty cool name, by the way. If you were a doctor, it'd be even dope. I don't have to prove fucking shit to you, bro. I don't have to prove nothing. And obviously, you're not an avid watcher or listener, or you would know I ain't trying to cash in on shit. I mean, there's no cashing in on nothing. I do this because I love it. I do this because I like interacting with the fans. I do it because I love this shit. And if you watch my show, you know that. I'm not a pretender, man. I'm not just Googling some shit and rehashing it. I'm giving you my opinions. My opinions come from fucking 40 years plus of reading comic books and still reading comic books and still buying comic books and just loving comic books. So I'm not trying to cash in on comic books being hot. So, appreciate your question, bro. Hope you continue to watch the show. And I think the answer will speak for itself. Okay. Do you collect other things or just comics? Sour Apex XX7. I think this was a porn shake, but it's still a good question. If I could show you right now, I need to do that one day. I need to just kind of take some video of all my sideshow collectibles, my statues, my Mezco collectibles. I got a ton of shit. I don't even have the proper area to display it. That's what it kind of irks me. So yeah, you know, I love a lot of this stuff. And it branches out, and I want to thank Big Sam for kind of rekindling my love for action figures and statues and toys and stuff like that. So yeah, I have a lot of stuff. I collect a lot more than I should. Let's put it that way. We'll just end it there. More if I should. Do you game? And if so, what are you playing? This was Pop Rocks. He was 3X's as well. Maybe he's a porn dude. I don't know. I used to play Destiny hardcore. The fucking community. I don't give a shit what anybody says about Destiny players. This is a gamer channel, so I don't give a shit. Destiny fucking community sucks. Like, it sucks. You guys, you're the fucking worst, man. I don't even play the game anymore because of you all. I don't want to play a PvP game or play a Gambit game and then get three messages about how I fucking sucked when I was the top guy in the game. I'm like, what the fuck? Who are you sending this to, you little prick? You know, and that's another thing. Talk shit. Motherfucker, you wouldn't talk shit if you wouldn't sit behind your Xbox. And that kills me. And that's all video games, right? But I'm getting ready to start playing Ghost Recon Breakpoint. I loved Wildlands, Ghost Recon. Delta Force stuff is kind of close to my heart, so I love playing it. The new COD looks amazing. I haven't played COD in years, but I'm going to give the new one a try because it looks so good. And I'm playing right now really, really hardcore Gears of War 4. I didn't realize I never finished it. And Gears of War 5's coming out, and I just really forgot how much I love the Gears series. So, yeah, I game, man. I game. Xbox Live, Dirty McGiblets is my handle. Hit me a like or a friend's request on Xbox Live. Would love to play with you guys if you play any of those games. Fuck Destiny, I'll never go back. Okay, the big question and the question of the month goes to, let me turn my notes. See, I have notes, guys. Y'all don't realize this shit. I have notes and shit. Okay, where's he at? Neil Brandon. For one thing, I want to give a big shout out to Neil Brandon. Neil Brandon really sent me a great, great message when I decided to take my hiatus. He really told me how much he enjoyed my show, and he really, really hoped that I came back. So that meant a lot to me. All your messages did. But Neil was a guy that I really didn't know was a fan that has watched my show several times, apparently. He doesn't get in the chat or whatever. And that's cool. That's cool. But he obviously listens to my show on iTunes and whatnot. So I really, really appreciated that. And he asked me this question. He started collecting mainly because of my show, which is fucking awesome, Neil. It's fucking awesome. One of my goals of the show is to get guys to collect. And he wants to know how to store his books. He doesn't have a lot of comics, but he wants to know how to correctly store them. And I've been wanting to do this type of show forever. So thank you, Neil, for asking this question because it gives me reason to do this fucking show. Okay, so really, really quick. You need bags and boards, first of all. Okay, this is Absolute Carnage. This issue is actually signed by Donnie Cates, the rock star Donnie Cates. And it is obviously in a bag, okay? And it has a cardboard back behind it. So I'm not going to use this one because it's got that certificate of authenticity in it. But I will use this one, okay? This is, oh shit. Now you see, don't do that. Don't bend your fucking book, okay? This is Captain Murray. This is the Carnage cover. These are variants. Okay, so what you do is you're going to get a board and a bag. All right, very self-explanatory. Now the board is going to be glossy on one side. Can you see that? And then kind of flat on this side. See how it doesn't reflect the light, and this kind of reflects it. Okay, that's the side the comic needs to go against. This is the acid-proof side. And there's like, it's ink and shit in your comics, right? So you don't want the acid to leak out on your comic and fuck it up. So this board helps protect it. So you slide acid up and keep the flap up on your bag as it goes up. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you why in a second. All right? Then when you go to insert your comic, Okay, bottom, top, bottom, top. Okay, slide it in from the bottom. That way the flap is on top of your bag. Now, why is that important, Blazing Defender? I don't get it. All right, I'm going to show you. So what happens is, now these are cool. These are what they call resealable bags. You really can't see that, but there's a little strip right here. I pull this strip off. It's got an adhesive on it. I take the flap, which I'm changing this bag out because see how fucked up it is, how it got fucked up in shipping. So then you go like this. Boom. It's sealed. Okay. It's going to look like this. This is a book I'm having signed tomorrow. Okay. One of the books I'm having signed tomorrow. Okay. So it's sealed. Now this was just sealed by masking tape. This is not a resealable bag. This is just a roll of tape, man. I don't give a fuck what kind of tape you use. So just tape it. All right. Boom. That's what it looks like. Okay. Now, why did we tape it from the top? So if you tape it from the bottom and the flap is up from the bottom, when you take your long box, which is the next step, you need a long box. Now, this is a fancy box. These are a little bit more expensive than just regular boxes. But this is a regular comic box, modern size comic box. And that's the other thing. You need modern size bags, modern size boards. Make sure they match, whether you're using Silver Age bags and boards or modern size. One will not work with the other, okay? The Silver Age backs are too big for the current size bags or modern size bags. The Silver Age bags are too big for the modern size backs. Yeah? Hey, look at this guy. Okay, so put them in your box, okay? So when it goes in, like this, correct? Boom, slides in. Now, if that flap is at the bottom, every time you go to put a comic book in it, it's going to catch the edge of the book in front of it. Nah? Yeah. So it's going to fuck your bag up. It's not a big deal. It just makes your box look like shit. And I'm very, very... My wife wishes I was as anal about everything that I am about how I store my comics. And I just wish she did anal. So we're fucking even, yeah? All right. So, all right, any questions? Huh? Yeah? Fucking rock star chemistry right here. Okay. Now, there are different bags. Now, okay, let me show you real quick how to. So bags and backs, they're expensive. They're not really expensive, but it's like, holy shit. Oh, hey, Neil Brandon, everybody. NBC 1985. All right. Yeah, man. Cool. Thank you for your question, dude. I hope you heard all that because I love that question. So bags and backs, they're expensive. And if, you know, you don't have to buy them all the time. Just when you get a stack of books, you can wait. I bag and back everything because I'm fucking anal hairy, right? But you can only bag, like, if you just want to bag your variants or your first editions or your first appearance of somebody, okay? Like House of X number 2. If you have House of X number 2, bag and board that motherfucker immediately. It is the fucking, really the first appearance of Maria McTaggart, who is an Omega level mutant. That book is going for fucking huge dollars right now. It's new. So bag that motherfucker. Okay. Get it bagged and backed. All right. So let's say you don't want to pay that right now. You don't have to. So what you do is you get you a box. You need a box. A shoe box will fucking do. They'll fit. Place your first comic face down or face up. Doesn't matter. We're going to go face down. Then put your next comic cover up. Like this. Then your next comic goes cover down. Like this. Okay? And vice versa, vice versa, vice versa, vice versa. Okay. Why do we do that, Blazing Defender? That's a fucking fantastic question, Chad. Oh my God, you guys are fucking geniuses. All right. Is it bat penis money? Not yet. It's not bat penis money. And I have that issue. I almost brought it out because it's a bigger size, so you need magazine size bags and backs. Okay, all right. So why do we do it? Why do we stack comics that aren't bagged and boarded like that? It keeps the spines together. Okay. Well, what I'm saying is it doesn't keep them together. But like what can happen is when you do it like this and it gets in your box, see how that's overlapped? It will crease this book. This book with the pressure on it from the other books will crease that book. You don't want that. That takes a book from mint, which is fucking brand new, never been read, perfect condition, to very fine. Maybe very, very fine. Okay? It's minute, but collectors are assholes when it comes to condition. I'm an asshole when it comes to condition. So that's why you stack your books like that, to keep your spines and everything really nice and neat. Keep them together. Keep them, you know, keep them as straight as possible until you can get them bagged and boarded. Okay. This is actually, you can't see it, guys. I wish you could. This is actually a Spawn 298 variant cover. It's a sketch and it is very fine condition. And it has a crease that kind of rolls down the inside of the spine because someone improperly stored it. Okay. Yeah, your longboards need to redo. Probably, Brian. Like, just, yeah. Take them out, rebag them, rebox them, put them fucking in there, and make sure the spines are straight. If I had a big box, I could show you. Now, the next thing I want to show you is, like, for me, tomorrow, I'm having some books signed, okay? This is a first edition Ninja Turtle book. Okay, this is the first edition. $1,000, okay? $1,000. Okay, first print. All right, so what happens is, see, this is a very, very thick, hard plastic cover. There's not a whole lot of way that's going to get bent. All right, so what I do is I have a bag, a little backpack. I put all my books that are going to be signed in sleeves like this. They don't stay in sleeves like this most of the time. And I put them in there so I can transport them to cons without suffering any damage. Okay, so and tomorrow Kevin Eastman will sign this, and I may get it CGC'd, which means that they will verify the condition, they will give me a score, and then they will verify the signature, which I'll get a gold border, whatever. It's for a collector. It's an investment. So yeah, so that's how you go about doing your comics, storing your comic books correctly and not getting them fucked up. Because trust me, I have a first appearance of Deadpool and Cable. It's X-Force number one, I think, or 298. I don't remember which one it is, but it's the Rob Liefeld first appearance of Deadpool. And it has a... Yes, exactly. But Jason makes a great point. But you're a little filthy casual bitch, and we all know that. Yeah. Yeah, I am. I Googled all that shit right there. That wasn't 40 years of collecting comic books. That was just me Googling it and figuring it out. But I have a crease in the seam. It's still very fine, which still brings a pretty penny. But it broke my heart when I seen it. I have the first appearance of Venom. That has that crease in it too. So anyway, don't get that fucking crease, man. All right. So thank you again, Brandon, for the question. I love it. And, that's when you're getting into comic books, it can be expensive. So I hope I helped you show you some ways that you can still collect and not fuck your shit up. Okay. All right. What else I got for you? Oh, I don't have a lot on the movie and news front, TV front, guys. We got The Mandalorian coming out. Looks fantastic. I wanted to tell you all that I've been watching Pennyworth. And it's very, very, very good. It's extremely adult. If you're watching the Titan series on DC streaming, you would really like it, I think. It's on is it on Hulu? I don't remember where I watch it at now. But Pennyworth, it's the story of Alfred after he got out of the SAS, come back to London. He's looking for work. He finds love. He finds conspiracy. He's a bad motherfucker. And it's a very, very, very good show. Every episode is pretty good. It may take a little bit to get going, but I really, really dig it, and I think you guys will too. And I'm very hyped about the Mandalorian. We got the Mandalorian and the Titans Season 2 coming up. So pumped for both of those. Movie news, really don't have a lot. Only on the Spider-Man thing, the Russos have come out and said they're not surprised at all. We're not surprised at all that Sony took Spider-Man back. It was so hard to get him in the first place. It's no surprise to us that it has fallen through now. That right there to me says mountains about the Spider-Man Marvel Sony split. And now that Sony has said the door is shut, yeah. I said it months, maybe years ago, that this would happen eventually. They would get greedy. When Venom came out and was a semi-success, they want to do that movie. Marvel had no plans for it in the immediate future, and they want to do it. So that's with the Russos saying that and how hard it was to get them to loan them that movie. Yeah, speaks volumes, I think, for Spider-Man going forward in the MCU, which really, really, really sucks. We're still going to have Tom Holland. We're still going to have Tom Holland, so I'm hopeful, but very, very doubtful that Sony's going to give us the fucking quality that the MCU has, or that Disney has, I should say. All right, comics on review. All right, guys, we got some good ones. Let's start with this. What is this? I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing here? Why didn't this come up? I don't know why it's not coming up. All right, let's see this. There it is. Ah, I figured it out. Okay. Deceased, A Good Day to Die. Oh, excuse me. It's Friday, man. Friday. I need my rock star. This may be Monster or Rain. I don't know what the energy drink this is. Emma Vodka. All right. Deceased, A Good Day to Die. This is a one-shot. This is in line with the story of Deceased by DC. It's like basically DC Zombies. It's very, very good so far, guys. The covers are amazing. And going to the weak tee first. I typically do, Jason. But I am enjoying this series. Now, where this book suffers, and let me tell you, this is by Tom Taylor, who did the Injustice series for DC, which was an Elseworlds story that is not in DC canon, if you want to say that. It's kind of like its own separate universe. Very, very good stuff. He is writing this. Do not get attached to any one character because they may not make it. This is like Walking Dead for DC Comics. You don't know who's going to make it out of issue to issue. So in this issue, we have Big Barda, Mr. Miracle, Scott Free. Very, very cool. I like these two characters both a lot. They end up teaming up with Mr. Terrific, who is trying to figure out the source, or the cure, I should say, for the anti-life equation and the zombies that have taken over this part of the universe. This is a very interesting pairing. I don't know if I've ever seen these guys together before. They end up teaming up with Booster Gold and Ted Kord, which is Blue Beetle. And basically they say, Mr. Terrific's like, Booster Gold's our best shot of going back into the future, back into the past, and finding out a way to stop this. And Booster's like, whoa, wait a minute, you're supposed to be the smartest guy in the world. You need to come up with something better than that. The artwork is, it's not good because, do I have a page? I do not have a page of this. Okay. And why I don't have a page is I couldn't find a good one to show you. There are several artists on this book, and the book, that seems to make a book herky-jerky in the tone. And because this is a comic book, right? It's not a novel. So you really need that imagery. And these multiple artists don't really come off with it. And none of them are good. Sorry. None of you are good. You're better than me, which is not saying shit, because there's no way I can make a living writing comic books. So, but the story's very good. And Jason, since you're a Constantine fan, this is a great vehicle one-shot for John Constantine. John Constantine is your typical sawed off, mate. That's my John Costantino impression. I'm going to go droinking at the ball. And he does. And they're like, no, dude, you are our plan B. You're our magical guy. We need your fucking help. And he's like, fucking fuck off, you know, get tossed. I'm going to go drink until I can't feel anything anymore. So, but John is a hero. He ends up coming to his senses. But is it too late? I'm not going to tell you. DC, A Good Day to Die is a very, very good one shot. Other than the artwork, I give it a solid 7.5. Jason, you need to read it. You need to read it. I thought it was a very good vehicle for John Constantine. And I know you're a Constantine fan. So yeah, read it. Again, don't get too put off by the artwork. It's not the best, but I think you'll dig it nevertheless. All right, Rhymed. Did you get that? It's not the best, but nevertheless. All right, yeah, I rap on when I'm not podcasting, and it's about as good as my podcast. Okay, so something new for you guys. I know, he's not talking about Batman. He's not talking about Thor. You know, yeah, I'm not. I'm not this week. Hey, no Thor, no Batman. Fucking hoorah. All right, so this is very, very cool from Boom Studios, which is a very, very small publisher. If you have a chance at your local comic shop, it came out this week, guys, okay? Get this book. Something is Killing the Children. Do you get kind of a chill when you even say the title? I know I do. I'm like, God damn, what's killing the children? Oh, fuck. Dude, something is. And it starts out as a ghost story. And you got these kids telling a ghost story. And this one kid is telling a story about something that he's seen in the yard, and it was taller than a tree and had teeth and fucking fangs. And he ran under his bed, and when he said he was so scared for about an hour, he couldn't look, and when he did, it was gone. And all the kids are like, man, fuck you, man. You're lying about this shit. He's like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I swear to God, it wasn't a dream. It's like, I seen it. So then the next scene, do I have a picture? I do have a picture. The next scene, he's in like a police officer's interrogation room, and they're asking him these questions, and the kid is like losing his mind. He was like, I was lying about a monster. And nah, dude, there was a fucking monster. And this is, if this just gives you an idea of the graphic nature of this comic book. Like, this is so sad. And this is just one of the kids that got killed. Okay? It's this book is horrifying. I'm like, what the fuck? Something is killing the children. You know, they kind of bury it in the title. But, dude, good fucking book, man. Very, 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 very close to my pick of the week. It was that good. And it is by, I always like to give credit, the fuck is it at? Oh, James Tyrion IV. He's an artist, guys. And I guess this is his first foray into writing. I don't know if it is or not. It's very, very good. And Werther Deladre. It looks Italian. It's got like apostrophe in it and shit. Very, very good book, guys. Get this book because I got a feeling. So this is why you need to get this book. Yes, Jason, I'm getting to weird here and maybe the next book. This is why you need to get this book. It's going to be a very, very low print run. And what that means is there's not going to be very many issues out. And if this thing was to get fast-tracked for a movie, a Netflix series or something like that, it's all going to blow up. It's worth your money. It's a very, very good story. And it's just a good, good comic to have. So check it out. What is Something is Killing the Children? Man, very fucking good book, man. I was totally taken away by it. So check it out. All right. The next book is Doomsday Clock. Now, I do always try to give you guys books that the new comic reader can jump into and enjoy. This is definitely not one of them. Doomsday Clock, this is issue 11, so you got 10 other issues you would have to read, and you would probably still not get the gravitas of this story. Basically, this is the showdown between Dr. Manhattan and Superman. And it's not really the showdown of those two guys. It's what's leading up to it. In this issue, we find out that Ozymandias, Veidt, fuck, I can't remember his first name, from The Watchmen, the guy that orchestrated everything from The Watchmen series and the movie, he has realized that Superman is key to the multiverse. And he has basically set up these dominoes to stage a battle between Dr. Manhattan and Superman. So, and I think he thinks that Dr. Manhattan is going to beat Superman, therefore saving that universe and his. Probably not going to happen that way. There's a lot of callbacks to past DC comics, like Wonder Woman. There's a lot of old Wonder Woman references in here. This right here, you know, Batman is actually trying to subvert a Russian nuclear strike. There's just a lot of threads going on. Now, if you are reading this book, it's very, very, very good. Jeff Johns, Gary Frank are really doing a fantastic job on this book. The way the text is written for the conversation, the dialogue, it is directly like, it looks just like The Watchmen. There's so many callbacks to DC books, to the Watchmen books. It's very, very, very good. The lateness of this book has really, really hurt it. I read this issue and immediately had to go back and read 9 and 10 because I'm like, wait a minute, something's fucking wrong here. But it was just because I didn't remember. Yeah, Jason says it's so tiring. Just ready to just read it later. This is going to read much better as a trade paperback. And what that means is in a few months, they're going to come out with a collected volume of this 12-issue run. The next issue is the finale, if you want to call it that, the final issue of this miniseries. So it's going to read way better than the lag that it's had. So it really sucks because I think it's going to read great as a trade, and it's really going to usher in the Watchmen into the DC universe. So you're going to want to read it, but like Jason said, fucking read it later. It sounds great. Okay. This is a surprise book for me. Now, this is from Dark Horse, which is another small indie publisher that does good work. Weird. Weird is weird. I don't know how else to say it. So from this cover, okay, let me give you a synopsis of Weird real quick. He works for the government. He freelances. He basically takes care of problems for them that no one else can take care of. The dude so far has a crazy Deadpool-like healing factor. Broken bones, hit by cars, dropped from skyscrapers, makes no difference. He gets up, he heals. This issue, you really find out how powerful his fucking healing factor is. Like, I don't even know if Wolverine and Deadpool could come back from what he come back from in this issue. But what's so cool about this issue, as you're reading it, you're like, wait a minute. So I'm going to give you the one image that I think says it all. Now, when you look at this, what is the first thing you think of? What is it, guys? Tell me. Not Superman. Brightburn. Fuck, thank you, Brian. Jesus, I had a brain fart. Brightburn. This kid is a super soldier project gone wrong. Okay? And it is almost identical to Brightburn. Almost identical. But so they send in Peter to neutralize this kid, right? Well, what we realize as the story unfolds is Peter has been set up, and the kid even tells him, oh, you think you're here to kill me? You think you were sent here to kill me? No, you were sent here to die. And Peter realizes that he's been double-crossed by the people that he's been working for. So, dude, this kid throws Weird into the fucking sun. He throws Peter into the fucking sun. Should be game over. It's not. Okay? I don't want to tell you anymore. I want you to read it. This is issue 4. It's been very, very, very good by Kurt Pines and Antonio Fuso. I love Antonio Fuso's art. It's messy, and it looks, sometimes it looks unfinished, but it really leads into the tone and pacing of this comic. It all, it's, dude, when a great story and a great artist come together, it's peanut butter and jelly. This is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for sure. So Weird, there's definitely going to be a volume 2. Can't wait. It's been a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic book. Check it out. Weird, that was number 4. All right, the next book. I've really been looking forward to this this book. It is Batman vs. Superman. This is Josh Williams and David Marquez. David Marquez's art is beautiful. It's beautiful. So Superman and Batman are teaming up. I love, this is one of my favorite dynamics in all of comics, is Superman-Batman. Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness's first volume of Superman-Batman is one of my favorite runs. I love it, love it, love it. This, I hope, is as good, and it is a very, very, very strong start. Very, very strong start. So, basically, from the Batman That Laughs miniseries, the 7-part miniseries that ended last month, the Joker, or the Batman That Laughs, has infected multiple heroes in the DC Universe. Okay? So, they are trying, Batman and Superman are trying to figure out who he is infected and how to help them. All right? So, just to give you, I hate to spoil this for you, but I just, you got to get a look at this art, man. This art is gorgeous. All right. Yes, guys. This is the Shazam Who Laughs. So, I mean, and he says, he even tells Superman, I've always wanted to know who would win between a fight between us. So this is going to be a very, very crazy run. The artwork is beautiful. I love this whole Joker Batman toxin thing that the Batman Who Laughs has infected people with. And you can kind of Google it and find out the infected that are coming. And it's going to be crazy. So the question is, are Batman and Superman enough to take down Justice League members that are infected with this virus? Very, very cool shit, man. I give it a solid 8.5. Like, this is good, good, good stuff, man. You guys are going to dig it. And like I said, I loved the Jeff Loeb series. There's a lot of that in this as far as how Batman figures out, like, Batman, how, what he feels about Superman and vice versa. And then you've got somebody like Commissioner Gordon who comes in who kind of has his opinions about both of them. So it's very, very cool to get into the heads of these heroes, and I just love their dynamic, the light and the dark, but they're fucking brothers, man. Don't get it twisted. They will fight each other on occasion, but they are brothers to the fucking end. They're brothers in arms. They each respect each other and what each other brings to the table. So, and that's very, very evident here in this Batman Superman. Jay or Brian says, Shazam is magic. Superman's weakness is magic, unless that's retconned. No, it is not retconned. Shazam has always been a contender to take down Superman. Now he's psychotic. Shazam's psychotic now. He's no compunction. So this is going to be interesting on how they take care of this this virus. So, all right, guys, the fucking pick of the week. It's damn near the pick of the week every week. It wasn't last week, but it was a damn close one. But it's got to be pick of the week this week. And that is House of X, number 4, Jonathan Hickman and Pepe Larraz. Dude, this motherfucker, these motherfuckers, I should say, meant it with all love and respect when I say motherfuckers. They have rekindled my love for the X-Men. They have rekindled my love for the mutants. They are rewriting this, the X-Men fucking mythos every week now. It's amazing. This is a fantastic fucking issue. It tugs at your fucking heartstrings. It's action-packed. The art is fucking dynamic. And I'm going to show you something. I was very, very cautious of what I showed you from this book, because not everybody makes it out. Okay. I'm not going to say anymore, but you get pages like this, and it's fucking Kurt and Wolverine. If you grew up with the X-Men, like I did, the Claremont X-Men, the John Byrne X-Men, this, I almost bawled at this page. Jason says a love letter. Yes, this page is a fucking love letter to anybody that's ever watched that read the X-Men growing up. This is Wolverine and Kurt. They've always had this fucking bond. You never really understood it because they drew, you know, Wolverine is the killer. He is the berserker. Kurt is the priest. He's the passive, you know, he wants to be the pacifist, but he realizes it's not his role. There is a scene where they're both taking down guards in separate spots of this space station. And Wolverine lays a pile of bodies behind him with blood everywhere. Kurt's walking away and the guards are handcuffed. They're incapacitated, but they're alive. Very, very distinct dichotomies there or ideologies from these two cats. But they love each other, brothers. And this is a moment right here where they have chose to give their lives for the mission, because the mission is more important. Now, okay, I have something to say about this. Now, if you have not read House of X or Powers of X, just mute me for a minute. Mute me for a hot second. Okay. The very first page of House of X, House of X number one, very first page. Professor Xavier is standing there in front of the Tree of Krakoa, which is their new safe haven. Okay, this sentient world that the X-Men, the mutants, are residing in. Okay, he's standing in front of these pods that erupt with humans or people coming out of them. One has red hair, a la Jean Grey. The other one, he takes his hand and lifts his chin up, and his eyes like start to light up. And all Xavier says is, "To me, my X-Men." Then it goes into the story. Okay. These are not the X-Men that we know. I don't know where they are. All I know is these are not the X-Men. In issue 4, these are not the original X-Men. There's some type of clone where Xavier has imprinted the memories of each member on each other. That's the reason we get this love story or this bond between Kurt and Logan. That is the reason we get that bond between Jean Grey and Scott later on in this issue. That's the reason Mystique is the way she is. And the first inclination of this to me was in issue 1 when Wolverine is wrestling with some kid mutants and he's laughing. It was a very not Professor Logan-ish, if you know what I mean. That was my first inclination that something is off about these X-Men. Now, after you read this issue, I think it'll come into more focus for you. There's no way that this stands. Okay, and I'll say that. All right, now everybody was muting me, unmute me. All right, we're back, and I'll say no more. But that is my theory on these X-Men. It's fantastic writing, nevertheless. It's fantastic storytelling, nevertheless. Jonathan Hickman, again, mind you, is just fucking killing it. I love Hickman, man. I love Hickman. Yes, you can unmute. Yes, unmute. So yeah, please, please, please read Powers of X, House of X. You don't need any backstory. It would be nice, but you do not need it. You're going to love these stories, man. You're going to love the X-Men again. I promise you. And the art. Oh, it's so fucking good. So fucking good. Okay, guys, that was my pick of the week. Now, really, really quick, I want to give you guys some issues to be on the lookout for. Okay? All right, let me see here. All right. The Avengers, The Children's Crusade number 9. This is a new book, okay? I didn't have time to put it in the images, so bear with me. It is Avengers, The Children's Crusade number 9. The reason I'm telling you this is because these books could be worth some money, okay? So if you see this book, it's a new book, get it. The mayor of Rio de Janeiro has called for the recall of the Avengers Children Crusade graphic novel due to a kiss between two male characters, Hulkling and Wiccan, that occurs in this issue. Okay, that's an issue you might want to grab. All right, because it's going to be highly, highly sought after. Okay. This is a new issue too that came out this week. I didn't review it because I have not read it yet, but I do have the issue. It is Green Lantern number 10, 10 and 11. 10 and 11. Okay, get them both if you can. Okay. Despite an article referencing the Legion of Superheroes introducing the Gold Lantern, a character does appear in today's Green Lantern 11. Update, it is the first full appearance of the Golden Lantern. New Green Lantern, guy. New Green Lantern. Okay? So, another color in the spectrum of emotion. So, get 10, Green Lantern 10 or 11. 10 is going to be the pseudo first appearance. 11 is the first full appearance. Okay? These issues are going for like $4 if you can find them. So, get them. Let's see here. Okay. Uncanny X-Force 25. Now, this is a book I've been looking for myself. Collectors are already on it, and they're already jacking the price way up, but it is in reference to House of X and Powers of X. And it says, House of X and Powers of X reintroductions seem to be generating interest in back issues of certain characters. That being said, Omega Clan will appear in upcoming issues. So this is the first appearance of the Omega Clan, okay, which is an Omega Sentinel, all right? It says these back issues are going for $12, high grade. That's bullshit. You will not find that for $12. It's more like $25. But if you go to your local comic shop, they might catch up Sleeping Dog, and you grab it, motherfucker, for $6-$7. And sell it. I don't give a fuck. Sell that motherfucker. All right. Okay. I think that's it, guys. There was just some new stuff that I wanted to keep you guys aware of. And like comics like this, okay? Avengers 48 and Avengers 47. This is the first appearance of the Black Knight in the Avengers. Now, we already know Kit Harington has been cast as the Black Knight, as Dane Whitman. So that issue, when say the Black Knight makes his appearance in the MCU, motherfuckers are gonna freak. Collectors are gonna want that issue. People are, you know, kids are gonna be like, "Oh, daddy, I love the fucking Black Knight," and they're going to want to have that issue in their collection. So just stuff like that. Keep your eye out for stuff like that. First appearance of Moon Knight, first appearance of She-Hulk. A lot of these issues already have a hefty price tag, but if you can find some, maybe mid to poor grade, go ahead and buy it for a few bucks. You never know what you might get out of it. Okay, Brian said there are gay characters and known as such. Dude needs to worry about something else in comics. Abso-fucking-lutely, man. Dude, you want to be gay? Be fucking gay. Be the best gay you can fucking be. Life is too short not to be anything other than what you fucking want to be, man. And with that, I will say, nice segue there. Thank you, Brian, for helping me with that segue. I will say this, guys. Life is short. Do what you want to do. If there's something that you've always wanted to do, fucking do it. Mine was to start a podcast, and I did. I'm not saying, you know, that's fucking great feat by any means, but it's something that when I get older, I can be like, yeah, man, I used to fucking podcast, you know? So do it. And man, be nice to people. There's a neighbor, when I walk my dog, he's got a sign in his front yard that says, just be kind. Just be kind. Open a door for somebody. Give somebody a compliment. Say hello. When you get off an elevator, wish everybody a good day on your elevator. I mean, yeah, it sounds stupid, right? It's dumb. But if everybody does something a little bit each day, the world is just going to be a fucking better place, man. And we really, really, really need to make the world a better place right now because it's pretty fucked up, okay? So, you know, if your friend's a fucking Democrat and you're a Republican or vice versa, who gives a fuck? We need both. We need both. Liberals are our optimists. Conservatives are our realists. You know, we need both of these people to make the world fucking work, man. So there's no sense of being upset with somebody for political views or religious views. Just love one another and by all means, fucking respect one another. And one thing I do want to say really, really quick, it is September. So I have my Twin Towers hat on, okay, with the blue and the red. I'll be wearing this all of September. I know it's like never forget. So just because it's September doesn't mean you can fucking forget. But don't forget the cost of freedom, because that's what these motherfuckers paid for. Okay, they paid for that fucking cost. All right, and they weren't soldiers, but by God, they were helping people in a time of fucking war. And that's what the assault on the Twin Towers was. It was a first strike of war. So guys, please, 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 show respect to the flag. Show respect to your fellow servicemen, to your first responders. I am a little biased, but not that I've earned it. They have earned it for sure. Okay, guys. Have a fucking great weekend, man. And I will be at Lexington Comic Experience this weekend. I think that's what it's called. I don't even know where the fuck I'm going. But I mean, Kevin Eastman, man. I don't give a fuck. So check out the Blazing Defender Report Facebook page. If you know somebody you think would like the channel, please share the link to them. If you guys are on pages, I know a lot of you guys manage pages. Please shoot that link out. Be like, hey, guys, you might like this show. So that really helps me in the future. And the chat, motherfuckers, you rock. You always do. You are my co-host. I don't need a co-host. Do you ever think about getting a co-host? Motherfucker, I got one. Fucking, I get 10 to 12 people in my chat all the time, man. They are my co-host. And you guys rock because you know exactly what you're fucking talking about. And I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for all the emails and the questions. Keep them coming. I would love to be able to do a segment of questions every episode. So remember, guys, big news next week, maybe 2 weeks from now when I come back from vacation. But I will be here reviewing the comics for you always. And with that, have a great weekend, guys. I'm out. Peace.